Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, what's up, Chicago? There we go. Now we're talking. It is Monday, Mission on Monday, December 19th, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have an outstanding show for you today. Today's conversation, y'all got it, Mission on Monday. Three things churches love that kill outreach. My God. Three things that churches love that kill outreach. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That's going to be good. We're going to make sure we get at the ample time. But in the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, alongside my brother in ministry, the one and the only Pastor Cornelius Parks.
That be me.
From the First Bethel Church on the south side of Chicago. What's going on, man?
Man, you got this thing, man. How you feeling?
I'm good, sir. I'm lovely right now. I'm feeling real good, man. It's Monday.
That's good to hear.
We made it through the ice age.
Man, listen here. We got to make it through today.
Man, because today's supposed to be rough.
Yeah, but they say it's a warm-up.
We're going to get to 25?
No, 30s.
Oh!
Rest of the week.
Oh, that might be bikini weather.
Yeah.
Oh, right? All right, but man.
I might go on Lakeshore Drive. And do my little running and walking in my new outfits.
I'm done.
So you guys know I've been trying on some new outfits for when it get hot outside. See, I'm a firm believer. You got to try it now just to make sure that it look right when you can fit in it. And so how it's looking now, the way my body been set up, I've been having an accident body. I had a hit in the stomach, which got me full coverage. The back part.
Why did I even go there?
Is liability.
Why? Why did I even go there? Why? Why, Jesus?
Yeah. So listen, I'm going to get ready and get this myself together. See, y'all waiting to the new year. I started now.
Let me give y'all a rundown of how you can contact the show. Just push one and you can be a part of the show. That's for you guys who've already called in, dialed in on your phone or whatever. Just push one and you can be a part of the show. You just hit that one button that'll get you to our producer. She'll ask you what you want, and then she'll transfer you on in. Amen. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to hear from you that way as well. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, go to Twitter. Find the hashtag at TTLO Radio, or the ampersand, rather. That's a little A with a little circle around it. But hit the at TTLO Radio. You can find us there. You can tweet the show. We love to read that tweet. If you want to email the show at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to email the show, we'd love to hear from you there, rather. And iTunes. If you want to follow us on iTunes, you can do that. Simply go to the podcast section of your iTunes account, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. The live streams are also up and running. Ustream, I see you. Go ahead. Come on in the room. Ustream, y'all come on in. If you get in the room, say something, speak. Open up the little chat box on your Ustream, on your phone or whatever. You should be able to see a chat box. Say something. Hit the share button as well. We'd love to hear from you. That's just camera over here. Facebook Live, here we go. We see y'all. Y'all up and running. Come on in the room. Speak to the people. Be nice. Act like a good Christian. Come on and say hello when you come in the room. And we'd love to hear from you there as well. Man, What's going on, Don?
Man, you got to stay, man. I'm sweating now because I ran up. I
was going to say you shouldn't have ran.
But I walked up the stairs slowly, but for some reason I was hot in the car. Got in here nice. Man, this place got some nice heat in here, man.
You got a nice heat bill, too.
Oh. Yeah, I can believe
you got
that.
Got a nice bill, too.
Yeah, I can believe that. There's a lot of space, man.
And it, unfortunately, you know, I hate to keep using this line, but the way it was set up. The way a building like this was set up, it was not set up with heating zones.
Exactly.
So you can't just heat up a room or the sanctuary without heating up the whole church.
Wow.
So when you turn the heat on,
it's for everything.
It's for every room that's got a radio.
Wow. I want to know who did that.
Well, you have to think about it. This building is probably...
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, I keep saying I'm going to do this, and I'm going to take the time to do it. I want to go downtown and see if I can find the original diagrams of the building, the plans, you know, because I'm sure they have those downtown somewhere.
Sure.
Because I really want to know, because I know it's got to be at least 100 years old. If it's not, it's close to it.
Wow.
So when they built the place like this, you could tell we still got steam heat.
Yeah, that's the best project.
Well, it's gas heat, but at one point it was a huge furnace down there, like a big old coal burning furnace.
So is it a furnace now?
It's gas furnace now, but yes, but it was a coal burning furnace.
Wow.
At one time.
So to do the radiators work all around the place?
Yeah, all the radiators work.
No wonder.
You know, the radiator heat ain't no joke.
Man, ain't no joke.
You know, ain't nothing like a good clank in the middle of the night when you have the old radiator in the house.
Project, baby.
Man, you hear that clank, you be like, yeah, it's working.
Yeah. Man, how was your weekend?
That was good, man. I'm trying to think. Friday, they had the thing over at First Baptist, I didn't make it. The snow just like deterred me. I got in the house. When I left here, I think I ended up going, I went to the store and then I went straight to the crib. And then it was like, I was done. I just couldn't, the energy was, I'm like, you know what, just sit down. Mm-hmm. And that's a rarity for me. So I just literally just sat down, got ready for Saturday to go bowling.
How'd you bowl?
I bowled better. Mm-hmm. The last 2 weeks I bowled very well, but we can't seem to. Our team just can't seem to, you know, put a series together. Like this is what's bad. We lost the first game by 100 pins.
Okay.
Right, by 135 pins.
That's a lot, huh?
And then the second game we won, and the third game we won.
Okay.
So that should have gotten us the series.
But it did.
But because we lost the first one by so much, we still lost the series.
Wow.
So we struggling. I believe we're still in last place.
Wow.
So hopefully after we get this break that's coming 2 weeks, because we don't bowl this Saturday or the following Saturday, maybe we come back.
Do y'all practice together?
No.
Okay. Now, is that a dumb question?
No.
Okay.
It's a legitimate question.
So maybe that's what from the problem.
You know, that's when you, let me say it this way. If it were me. And this is no slight to my team or whatever. But the problem is finding a time to practice. That's the first problem. Everybody works, except this dude. But everybody works. Well, three of us that don't work. I should say that. Myself, Pat Lewis, and our anchor, Johnny Malone.
Okay.
We're not working. But our captain, Tyrone Lewis, who's the musician here, and the new young lady, they have jobs during the day. So the only time we could possibly practice would be 8 o'clock at night. Now that's fine for me.
Right, but not for everyone.
But not for everybody else.
Gotcha.
And then we can't practice during the day.
Gotcha.
So it's difficult. It is difficult. But you do need that practice where you can walk somebody through what they're doing.
Get some reps in.
And say, hey, why don't you try doing this? Because it's hard to make adjustments live during the game.
Right.
Because you ain't got no practice. I mean, once the practice is over, you got 10 frames to get it together.
So is. How many is 5, 6, right?
Five people?
Yeah.
It's five to a, you, the five is the minimum. You can have up to 6 or 7,
okay.
And you can have people alternating in and out.
Where in there is you think you're struggling at?
It's kind of across the board.
Okay.
We'll do well. Like myself and one other person will do well, and then we'll have three people that don't, or we'll have two people that do well, or we'll have three people that do well. And then two people that don't. And unfortunately, the teams that we've been bowling, like the team we bowled Saturday, the first game, all of them bowled 200 plus.
Ooh. Oh, they came out.
Yeah.
They came out.
Yeah.
Oh, they
uh-huh.
They came out and said, let's mother.
So I mean, you know, it was not much we could do in that situation. So I
wow.
mean, you know, yeah, so we took that beating, man. We took
yeah.
it and, you know.
Gotcha. Man.
So what about you, man?
Man, Friday night we was at the church.
Right.
It was a ball, man. I played games.
I saw.
I played Jenga. I did basketball.
Now, I haven't played Jenga in years.
Man, listen here. I like that game, man.
It is cool.
That's the first time I ever played it, man.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't played Jenga in years.
Yeah, man. I
Anybody
like that
got a
game.
Jenga set?
Man,
I ain't played Jenga in years.
I got one now.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. I had a ball, man. And then we also basketball, karaoke.
Okay.
And Uno, man.
Okay. So, see, I'm old school.
And I made them play old school.
Yeah,
way.
I don't play Uno with them extra.
Man, I made them play old school.
You can
way.
Put down five draw twos at
man,
one time.
Man, that no. I told them they couldn't make up the. I said, listen, we play an old school way.
Meaning we just gonna follow the rules
just
in the book.
Follow the rules and let's just have fun.
Right.
And it was fun that way too.
Yeah, I man, Uno is hilarious.
But I tell you,
I see some fights break out of Uno.
Man, listen, it was intense, man. It was so intense. I'm sitting next to two of them,
uh-huh.
and I'm just looking away. I'm looking at the hand like, and one other person laughing at me because
you
see me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it was fun, man. And then I'm amazed of this. How many kids showed up?
So tell us, man. Tell us about it. Now you're done collecting toys, or you're still collecting and passing out?
We still collecting, passing out. So here,
but you're still sitting on stuff too, ain't you?
Yeah, we still sitting on stuff
okay.
too.
Now I don't mean no harm. I just want to say this real quick. Now I asked his brother, you know, where was the Batman stuff at? Because I could have made an even exchange. I ain't seen nothing. He could have sent me a picture or something. Say, hey Doc,
I know
you
I
want
gave
me to
away.
Put this to the side. You know, you can replace it with something else. I could have replaced it with a Spider-Man or something.
Okay, listen. Now I tell you,
Captain America or something. But you know, I would have thought my brother would have helped me out. But you know, that's how it is.
But it ain't
know.
No, it's not over.
That's what. That's how Scrooge is. I'm sorry.
Hey, so
tell you about these creatures, huh?
Man, this is what we short on, man.
Okay.
Last year, we had more girls than boys. This year,
you got more boys than girls.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Like, I'm searching for girls' gifts. Like, look, boys, I can take care of boys. I mean, just.
I'm going to tell you why. Because girls, I don't think girls play with toys as much as they used to.
They don't.
So now, little girls, because of the advent of where we are, little girls are into clothes.
Yeah.
Little girls, so you're not gonna get toys for them. You have some that still want to do the Barbie thing and the Barbie baby doll thing, but once they get to like maybe 7 or 8, they really out of toys.
Crazy.
Maybe electronics.
It's crazy.
But they're away from the toy deal.
They are.
Now boys, we gonna play with them until we 46.
That's
right. Until we, you know.
Because I see a Hot Wheel collection, man. It started talking to me. Pastor Parks, you remember me.
Hot Wheels.
I kept looking at
you know,
it. Oh, my
I got
God.
A bad memory of Hot Wheels.
Really?
Yeah. My cousin, your friend, LaJohn. Yeah, his mama, Joanne.
Wow.
A Hot Wheel racetrack.
Oh, wow.
Get your feelings hurt real quick. She didn't play. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Hot Wheel racetrack.
Wow.
And you remember them bendable ones.
Yeah.
The ones with the loop-the-loop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she make
God.
A loop-the-loop all right.
Oh, my God.
Hot Wheel racetrack. Catch it when you ain't ready. What did I do?
Hold on.
Yeah, I only spent the night over there a couple of times. Like, I ain't going over there.
I see it.
They be beating people
that,
over there.
Like that's Isaiah Thomas' sister, right?
That's sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
Right, that's LeJohn's father is
right.
Isaiah Thomas' brother.
Okay.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Larry.
So, yeah,
Mr.
man.
Chicago, as they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Mr. Chicago. Yeah,
picture still hanging up in the Mr. shop out there in North Riverside with the
crazy.
Fur coats on.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. So, man, it was good. And so Sunday,
uh-huh.
We had to cancel
mm-hmm.
our Christmas party.
I saw your Facebook Live
yeah.
saying because of the weather.
The weather.
Yeah.
You know, I had more guests in service Sunday
mm-hmm.
than I pretty much had my own members. And, members just decided to take a call off day.
Okay.
Because of the weather. However, man, I made sure I got out there, man. Once again, I snowed, shoveled. And at the end of service, man, that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I gave every adult gifts. Every adult that was in service, they got gifts. I mean, some of them got big stuff. It was nice. And then I also poured out 5-6 boxes of toys.
Wow.
And I said, listen, go through it, take it, and go be a blessing to somebody else.
Oh, that's good.
Because they kept asking, Pastor, I know somebody who needs this. I know somebody. Well, I don't want to get confused with this. Just go ahead.
Right.
Bless them. I trust that you guys are going to do the right thing with it. Bless people. So they took over 1,000 gifts, man.
That's awesome. That's just awesome. Real quick email. Sister McCurdy says, the cantata was absolutely beautiful. Zachary Lavender is a gifted young man who I hope and pray will continue his vision and ministry. So I know quite a few people that went. All I heard was good stuff.
That was Friday night.
This was the Friday night thing at First Baptist.
Okay,
Lifeline hosted it at First Baptist. I was
Lifeline who?
Reggie Walsh Church.
Oh, really?
They hosted it at First Baptist.
Oh, for the spacing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, you know, Lifeline is not that big.
That was good.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not that big. But, yeah, man, and I saw pictures. I was disappointed that they, and maybe it was on purpose, but I know First Baptist cannot stream yet, or they don't. I was a little disappointed that it wasn't streamed somewhere.
Wow.
Because I was like, my thought process was, because I know how Lifeline is about their programs. They stream everything, but because they were at a different location, they probably had no control over it.
Facebook Live. There's a lot of people doing Facebook Live, I seen.
I missed that. I didn't see any of that. Maybe we got different. Yeah, I didn't see any of that. Yeah. But I saw lots of pictures, man. They had like a full orchestra up there.
Yeah,
and
he did.
Man, are you directing that? I said, wow, this is all right. So I really hate I missed it. But, man, I heard nothing but good reviews from all the people that went. And it's something different. That's something you don't see. Something you don't see that often from African Americans, you know, directing that type of stuff. But Zachary, I've known Zachary pretty much all my life. I called him Wayne, but he's always been musically gifted.
Good.
And I mean, not just from a gospel perspective. I remember I may have been 10 or 11 years old. He was on PBS Channel 11, as we know it, singing with a choir, singing opera.
Mm.
So this guy has always been like that. I mean, he is one who, as so many do, they abuse their gifts. He is one that has never, when it comes to music, he is absolutely serious and does great workshops.
That's good.
I would love to have him come over here to Kingdom and do a workshop with our music department because he looks at the details of the music.
That's good.
You know, like you said, when you're looking at worship services.
Mm-hmm.
He goes and he drills things down to the level to say, okay, let's tear it all apart and then let's look at it.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying? Let's take this thing apart and let's look at it. It's kind of like, you know, for me, I remember I've always been a kid who loved electronics.
Okay.
And if my mama watching, I'm sure she probably tell y'all, I used to love to take things apart.
Oh.
So I would take stuff apart. Like if I was a kid and you had given me this thing right here and I didn't know what it was, I would just take it apart.
Wow.
Just to see how it works. Like what makes those lights go up? What makes my voice go through this microphone, come through here and then come out of speaker? Because I needed to know. And when you're only child, left in the house by yourself, with tools, you just do what you do. So real funny story one time, we had a big black and white TV, flow model.
Yeah,
y'all remember flow models with the feet?
Yeah, boy.
So it was a big black and white TV sitting right in our dining room. So when you walk in my mom's house up the stairs, you open the door, you're in the dining room, and the TV sat on the wall, on the floor in the corner. And I literally would go, pull the TV out from the back of the wall, get the screwdriver out, and just start going in the back of the TV and taking it apart.
Oh, wow.
And the goal was to see what could I take out that would stop the TV from working. How many pieces can I take out before the TV went off so I could know what makes the TV work? This is why you don't leave kids at home by themselves. I think
he was a big kid.
Look, I might have been about 7 when I was doing this. So literally, and I would do it. I would take it apart, put it back together. Like, okay, this is how this works. This is how this works. Do the same thing with the VCR. Same thing with the toaster. With anything.
Wow.
I wanted to know how the stuff worked. So what would happen is, as long as I put it back together, as soon as I took it apart, I was good. I went to the back of this TV, took this stuff out. It was in the summertime. I hear people outside. Dana, come on, man. Come on, come on. We finna play off the wall or do something. I'm like, all right, cool. I left. Came back about 2 hours later and looked at that stuff on the floor. Didn't know where none of it went. So now I'm behind the TV like, okay, trying to panic, like put this over here, put this back over there, and then just screw the backpack on and push the TV back and just be like, it don't work. and play it off, right? So I always left evidence. My mom could always tell when I had did something. Wow. I don't care, whatever. I don't care how good I thought I cleaned up. She always would find
your
it.
Evidence.
So when she comes in the house, and we sitting there, and I'm avoiding. Now, normally, first thing you do when you walk in the crib is turn the TV on.
Turn the TV on.
I avoided touching the TV.
Oh, my God.
Now, she had already touched it and checked it.
Oh my God.
I don't know this, right? Dana, cut the TV on. So there was no remotes. This was to pull the knob.
Yeah.
You know, pull the knob.
Yeah, it takes
turn
a while,
it for the volume.
Take wait the while for it to come on.
Got to wait for the warm up, Doc.
Yeah.
Wait for,
yes, sir.
I pull the knob. That's there like, and you pulled it just like it was going to come on. That little line just came across the TV. And I said, I said, I wonder what's wrong. And so then I go, I said, well, maybe I could fix it. Let me go look in the back. Look at my mom with two screws. Somebody, she said, you ain't got to worry about taking these two out.
Oh, my God.
All I could do was just break down. I knew I was going to get it. That's
oh
all I could
God.
Do. I just.
Lord have mercy.
I was good for that, man. But you know what? It paid off because I had everybody and their mama come. Hey, man, could you fix all the tape stuck in the VCR? Can you fix the DVD? Hey,
oh
man, my toaster only light up on one side.
Oh, my God. Even came Mr. Fix It.
Hey, them little $5 and $10 helped out, Doc.
Man, you know, let me switch conversation.
Come on, go ahead.
I am distraught.
Uh-oh,
of
distraught.
Another shooting at a funeral home.
Oh, the place where Buki's funeral was supposed to be.
Yeah, House of Branch.
House of Branch. Now, where is House of Branch?
On Roosevelt and Spalding, Kansas.
Yeah, so okay.
Foyer. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
A shooting.
Now, this had nothing to do with Buki's. This was
a
different funeral.
Different funeral. Young guy, gang funeral.
Right.
One guy got hit, but to be honest, that one guy who got hit,
mm-hmm.
he saved a lot of people's lives.
Wow.
Because he identified them. He noticed them, and he said something to everybody else, and they was able to get away. And so they lit fire and shot him, but he came right back. He was shooting back at him, man. And this is right outside on Roosevelt, outside the funeral home. So what happened, the police was there.
Because they knew already that something was going to happen.
And they left for something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. As soon as they left,
that's when they
went down.
Yeah. Wow.
Outside the funeral.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, man. Because I had, what is his name? Minister, God dog it, I just saved his name in my phone a little while ago. Minister Burton.
Okay.
Who works with Jody and the crew. He came to the church yesterday.
Okay,
try to get the church for the funeral. And I talked to some people here. So I talked to him this morning, and they were going to work it out. But then when he texted me back, he said that they had found another spot.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, I was glad they did that because, you know, of course, you use it, you got to pay. So.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but anyway, man, I was that just messed me up. I'm like, hold on, man. I'm like, that's crazy. But you know, that used to happen back in the day.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, with the mob and stuff too.
No, but with gangbangers.
But gangbangers too.
You know,
that's true.
Yeah, back then, but back in the day with gang, you wouldn't go.
It happened to we had a funeral for my cousin,
mm-hmm.
Right there on Madison and Lockwood.
Okay.
And, we was in there. It happened to us as well.
Wow.
And shot up a lot of people.
What, at Corbin?
No, at the church. Remember that church?
Oh.
Where Brian Pickett's doing
Yeah.
Man, we was in the service, and I was one of the ones that got graced as well.
Wow.
Man, it was crazy, man. So,
yeah, it's been, man, I normally don't even attend. You know, I remember one of our church members was married to a big-time drug dealer.
Wow.
And the funeral was here.
Wow.
And I remember I was with the youth at the time, and this place was – there was not an empty seat.
Wow.
In this place. And it got – and I'm saying and the only seats that were empty were those in the balcony.
Wow.
And that was because the kids who were here, they were all – the young – they were afraid.
Wow.
And they all came and sat up in the balcony with me because I was doing the sound.
Wow.
I said, well, y'all come sit with me. Because they knew how, you know, Dana rolled. So y'all come sit with me. If it jump off, they ain't getting up here. And if it's only two doors, they're going to come in. And you're going to get laid out before you get either the door. But we had to end up opening up the balcony. And then the fire department came and said, you can't have any more people in that room.
Wow.
Man, it was, you know, back when Lexus's was hot.
You know what I mean? The round.
Right.
Yeah.
It was Lexus and stuff,
yeah,
double parked all down,
wow,
Central, all up the street. It was crazy. And that was the one and only. I said, you know, that's my first and last. And I think that was our last time having a funeral for anybody who had any type of, that we knew of, that had any type of affiliations like that in this building.
Wow.
But yeah,
wow,
it was crazy.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of buddies that worked there, so I.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I immediately called them.
Everybody
they,
good?
They was good. They told me the whole story how every what went
how
along.
Went
what,
down.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just crazy.
Real quick, man. Want to say hello to y'all who popped into the room? Marissa, Dana Miller. There's a couple more y'all in here. I don't see who you are because y'all are not either. Y'all must not be my friends. Y'all must probably pass the parts friends. So I don't know who you are. But it's a couple of y'all in the room. I just can't see your names because that's the way it's set up. If they're not friends, you can't see who they are. But man, when you come in the room, say something. Say hello. Speak to somebody. Come on in. Speak. Say something. Say something. Come on. Come on. Come on. Anyway, so much stuff is going on, man. Real quick, is anybody else embarrassed about the Chicago Bears? I mean, I'm not because it's funny.
We ain't talking about that here.
I'm not because it's funny.
Listen, but I was amazed. I got a lot of Bear fan friends,
uh-huh,
and Packer friends, man.
Oh, yeah.
And
I got quite a few Packers friends.
And man, I was watching their feeds on Facebook. I said, get them. I can't. We lost too. I'm a Denver Bronco, and Patriots beat us. So, but man, I'm not a Bears fan. Man, listen here. I don't know what's wrong with them boys.
It's called ownership.
Man, them boys, they are terrible.
I'm gonna say this. So you know, and I'm gonna move on. But you can equate this to churches the same way. They didn't had how many coaches?
Man.
Huh?
Yeah.
How many coaches? Right.
Yeah.
But they got the same leadership team.
Yes, sir.
Picking those coaches.
Yes, sir.
Picking the players.
Yes, sir.
Same folk.
Talk, man.
So it don't matter who the coach is.
Ah.
If you still got the same folk.
Y'all don't hit me.
Making the decision.
Ah.
You're going to get the same mess.
Yes, sir.
Let me move on. Amen.
That's the tale of Chicago sport.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it
I'm
is.
I'm being real with you, man. I thank God that the Cubs and Blackhawks have made many adjustments.
Yeah.
Sox won. In 05, right?
Boo.
And I mean, what they doing now?
Boo.
Trading everybody off. You're right, boo.
I ain't never liked it.
It's like, if it wasn't for the Cubs and Blackhawks, you know. And
who would have thought somebody would ever say that if it wasn't for the Cubs?
Yeah. All right. But believe it or not, even when y'all wasn't winning,
yeah,
y'all was still America's team.
I know it was.
Man, just
know
the Cubs and Dallas.
Where's the Cubs?
Hey!
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong.
Oh!
Look at
Oh, okay.
You got the roll on every song.
Man, that's sweetness.
That's
the sweetness, man. I'm done with
this. Anytime
I hear beat, man, sweetness just
I'm
take
done.
Over.
I'm
sweetness
done.
Just take over, man. I have to tame, stop.
Oh, my God. Oh my
and
God.
Then when I stop, he still.
So we had a guest pastor yesterday.
Oh, okay, who was it, man?
From Julian Spencer's church, from Maine Baptist, Reverend William Clemens Jr.
Okay.
Good guy, man. He came out, man. He preached that thing. The title was... Let me make sure I get this right now. Somebody help me out, Tanya. Arrested for worship or arrested to worship? One
okay.
of the two.
Okay.
But it was good. He used the story of the woman with the alabaster box. And
okay.
Man, he preached the thing. He was good. He was good. He went, you know, he went, hit that thing. It was good, man. It's good to get some.
Yeah.
He was excited, too.
Was he?
He really excited. I mean,
wow.
Like really excited. You know, but it's good. I can sit. Under any, I can sit on the preacher who brings authentic excitement.
That's good.
To worship.
That's good.
And it's contagious.
It is.
It's contagious when you're around somebody who's excited about worship. It's kind of hard to remain the same.
Yeah.
Or just sit there.
Yeah.
When the person in the pulpit is excited.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, if people are trying to, he's exalting God, but he's trying to exhort you to join in with him. Yeah, man, as soon as he stood up to the mic, he went in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's one of them.
Yeah, he went right on. He stood right up to the mic and said, hey, look here. He said, look, don't play with me now. Don't fool me.
How did they respond to him?
Some did. And it's good. You know, it's good.
I like when bring in somebody new.
Yeah.
Because it makes me look at some members who don't say amen with me
mm-hmm.
to see if they really got an amen in them.
What I love is when somebody new comes in and they repeat sometimes exactly what you said.
Oh, confirmation.
And they, and tell people, like they used to use this phrase yesterday, that praise is not a, is not an ask, it's a command.
Uh-huh.
And folks start shouting hallelujah. And I said to myself, well, maybe they just need to hear from somebody else.
Wow.
And that's all right with me. I just want you to get it. I don't care if you like it when I say it or not. I just want you to get it.
Wow.
And it's good when you have people come up and because anybody who is attuned to the Spirit of God recognizes what type of room they're in when they get ready to preach.
Wow.
You recognize when I give you a very good example.
Yeah.
When I went to when I had to preach out at Pastor Singleton's church, Silver Cloud Missionary Baptist Church out on the south side. I don't think he's that far from you, actually.
Okay.
But I went to go out there to preach. Older, traditional style church. A lot of old mothers were sitting it right. They got their own seats right next to the pulpit.
Wow.
So here I come, you know, dude, suited up, earrings in my ear, and I come on in and I'm sitting there. And now I had my sermon all down. I said, okay. But I knew the delivery was going to have to be a little bit different.
Wow.
Because I recognized what was in the room. Now, I still preached it the way God gave it to me.
Right.
But I looked and I said, okay, because you have to mind your, you know, when you get in certain rooms, you need to change your illustration.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't talk about Snapchat and Facebook in a room full of people 65 and over.
Right.
I don't mean no harm.
Right.
I'm just trying to say.
Right. Right.
You know, I'm sorry. You just got to you got to take it back to something that they can recognize. So, but yeah, but it was good, man. It was good. It was a good time. It was
now,
a good time.
I preached yesterday, man.
Okay.
Vinegar and oil.
Uh-oh.
Just won't mix.
Okay.
I was
okay.
Talking about relationship.
Woo! Come on. Come
good
on.
And evil.
Come on.
Don't mix. It don't blend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you're at the restaurant and you see vinegar and oil in the same container.
Uh-huh.
You shake it up.
Yeah.
You pour it on your salad. Then you put it back on the table. What happens? It goes back to its perspective.
Mm-hmm.
One go back to the bottom because
mm-hmm.
it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one go to the top because it's light.
Yeah, it separates.
And it separates. And you can see the line in between it.
Yeah.
A lot of us in relationships, we've been holding on to relationships. We've been holding on to people that we should have dropped a long time ago.
Yeah, my God.
I talked about how I went out of town one day. And this trip was only 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
But I packed a big luggage
mm-hmm.
like I was staying much longer.
Okay.
So when I got to the hotel, I opened up my luggage and I began to take my clothes out and put it into the hotel dresser.
Mm-hmm.
When I realized I took everything out and put my bag in the closet,
mm-hmm.
a couple of days later, it was time to pack up again.
Okay.
I learned that it took me more time
mm-hmm.
to pack than it did to unpack.
Okay.
Sometimes we unpack our baggage
mm-hmm.
in places that we should only stay for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, my God.
But we sit there like it. We unpack it.
My.
And we're putting stuff in places
my.
That we don't need to be.
My.
And it's amazing how
woo.
We stay in a person's life, their residency, for a long period of time when it should have been pretty much like a one-night stand.
Ooh, can I? Ooh, can ooh, let me steal this word for a minute. Can I piggyback or reiterate
yes,
on that?
Sir.
It's like you get you choose and we decide to turn a snowstorm into a season.
Yeah.
So instead of just having a one moment or 2 hour snow.
Yeah.
We changed the whole climate into
climate.
Winter. When we should have, you're right. You absolutely should have just left that thing.
Man,
my
left
God,
that
yeah,
thing.
Man.
And the crazy part is,
wow,
we had many signs to exit.
Oh Lord,
excuses to stay.
Oh Lord.
And so man, it was so fabulous because I took it from I looked at the movie Baggage Claim.
Yeah,
and how this woman, because her sister
mm-hmm.
got engaged in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So she got with her friends and said, in 30 days,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to find me a mate.
Okay.
Number one, her big first mistake was she was going to find her mate.
Okay. Gotcha.
When the scriptures say he that find it.
Right.
So now in the movie, this woman went chasing, running all around looking for men.
Mm-hmm.
And every man that she had an encounter with, they all used her for one thing.
Wow. Uh-huh.
It was her good.
Mm-hmm.
I told the people in God, this is a matter that we should talk more about in the church and not in the world. Many of you want the right man or right woman to come.
Mm-hmm.
But how can you want that person to come when your whole body has been contaminated?
Wow.
We don't take the value of purity anymore. We don't value. And I told you, listen, honestly, you got to tell people every now and then that you're expensive.
Oh, my God.
You're not a thrift store.
Mm.
You're not Kmart. You're not Walmart. You're expensive. But because how you live your life loose.
Yeah, yeah.
You're giving people an open invitation to do whatever they want to do in your life. So the problem is a lot of us have been sleeping with the enemy for a long time. And so, you know, it was amazed how I was delivering and I'm seeing how things. I said, you know, if you with a man that don't open the door while you're dating, don't think he's going to open the door when you're married.
Wow.
If you with a man that's not going to help you when you're dating, don't look for him to do it when you get married.
Mm-hmm.
If you look for a man that's not working or don't have a source of income when you're dating, don't think it's going to change when you get married.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us try to change people after we get married, but not trying to do anything while we're dating.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and that's been the case of, and it works both ways.
It does.
It works both ways. Whatever you did, whatever you allowed and put up with before you got married, you don't think it's going to change because of a name change.
Man, listen here.
Don't think it's going to change because of a name change. So we need to be really careful about situations, you know, like you said something earlier, red flags are always abound and abundant.
Yes, sir.
And we see them and we ignore them because we go, well, it's not that bad.
Man, listen.
We say, you know, that's okay. I can deal with that.
Man.
And before you know it, these three or four things that you can deal with all end up when you start looking at them beyond the surface, you start to recognize that there's really a whole lot more. This is just the surface of things, but now you put yourself in this. Now you're bound. Now you're bound. And this is why again I'm really working on trying to get Pastor Reggie Roiland and London in here to have this very discussion because I think you would have a lot less ruined marriages. If people were honest up front, and not honest saying, okay, you know, these are my bills, this is this. Honest saying, I may have a problem with this, or I may have an issue with that, or or this is something. This is the way I do things, you know. But we get enamored with being with somebody, you know, because nobody wants to be alone. If we be honest, nobody wants to be alone. So we get enamored when somebody takes the time to say, oh, hello, and well, you know, and they treat you right, you know. And here's the thing. You can treat some, you can be treated right and still mistreated.
Oh, most definitely.
You can be treated right and still mistreated.
I'm going to tell you how. And you hit an interesting point because I talked about this as well.
Okay.
Just because you've been in love before does not mean you know how to love someone else.
Wow.
Everyone has different love languages.
That's good. That's good.
And so what happens on the woman part that make her feel like we're not trying, the woman don't understand that she need to teach men how to love them.
Mm.
Just because I was in love with a woman don't mean I know how to love you.
Woo.
Because some women,
and
I'm not trying to belittle no woman, but some women are so independent that they lost their dependency. They live their life like they don't need nobody.
Boom.
They live their life like they don't need a man.
Oh.
They talk about a man, they knock a man, and they only use a man for what a man used to use them for.
Oh, my.
And so now things have turned tremendously because of society have taught women, whatever a man can do, so can you also.
Mm.
Equality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm down and I'm with equality, but nowhere in the Bible does it suggest woman is head. And so, and this is not it's reality. That's reality. And so that's one of the biggest problems that why women don't submit to men, because here they always use as an excuse, where if there was some good men out here, well, honey, you know, we might got a problem, but you got problems as well.
Mm-hmm.
Every couple, every marriage have sacrificing in it, have settlement. You're going to settle because it's called our weakness.
Yeah.
Every you would love me to death, but there's some things about me that you don't like. Some things I do that it just get under your skin. But however, because of the love you have for me, you can deal with it.
Yep.
Versus complaining and nagging.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I even talked about how women need to control attitudes and stop blaming it on the monthly. Stop blaming it on all the other. I mean, hey, they bipolar, 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 dipolar. We can't keep. Man, I was in the house, man. I'm serious. This is what the Lord gave me because
I'm seeing how
people using as excuses why marriages are not working, why relationships are not working.
Uh-huh.
And then also I hit the men too. Man, I told the man,
pause 1 second. Y'all on Facebook Live and you stream, y'all hit the share button. This is good stuff right here. I don't want y'all hit the share button. If you just came on, hit the share button. Come on,
man, I even told the men, you know, you 40, you can't be doing the same stuff you was doing in your 20s. You don't need to keep putting a notch underneath your belt.
Oh,
that's
my.
Suggesting touching everything.
Oh, my.
I told the men you need an oil change, and I told the women you need your engine change.
Oh, Lord.
If you want the right person to come your way,
yeah,
you got to have a point of self-control.
Yeah.
And a lot of us don't have that, man, and I'm only able to talk about it because I'm practicing that. I'm trying my best to get to that level. That and truth of the matter, I'm 42, and sometimes you feel like, man, how can you practice some things that you're accustomed to?
Wow.
I'm accustomed to certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I tell people, I stay busy.
Mm-hmm.
I stay away from it.
That's the deal.
And I'm being honest
with
you.
You know, you have to stay busy. You do.
Listen, it ain't that I don't trust her. Right. I don't trust myself.
There you go.
And so even in this, looking at the story, how this woman was looking all over the world. For a man, and the man that she was talking to about every relationship, her true love, right, was right underneath her nose.
Okay,
she overlooked what she didn't want, but what she needed.
Wow,
most of us we get caught up in relationships because that's what we want. And that's not what we need.
Yeah, it's easy to gloss over stuff that's sitting right in front of you.
But here, what it is, we look. What I want is the outer appearance. I need is what's on the inside.
Yeah.
And most people can't get to the core of an individual because they can't get past how they look.
That's good.
And so a lot of times you got to stop how people look on the outside. You got to stop looking and judging because that person that may look raggedy on the outside may have a good bank account on the inside, may have a good credit score. I'm being honest with you.
You're right.
Maybe it may take you to do some polishing. The number one goal for a man to help a woman is to cultivate her. Now, this is the problem I have with a lot of church women is because they feel that they already cultivated. They feel like nobody could tell them nothing. Nobody can try to lead them nowhere because they already had it. God is doing a new thing in me. Baby, please. Listen, you need a man in your life to cultivate you. That means to sow good seed in your life. That means to push you to your potentials in God.
Yeah.
That means he sees something in you that you probably don't even see in yourself.
Wow.
That means he wants to see you to grow more spiritually than he do in the natural. That means that he sees something that God wants to do in you. And not only that, that you can be a great support system to him as well. No man want a woman who can't be a great support system to him.
Oh my.
Now hear
that again.
No man
don't
want no woman who can't be a great support system to him. Now I'm gonna go with it now. Here in the book of Genesis, when God created the heaven and the earth, when God created everything, the Lord never gave man dominion over man. He said, listen, you got dominion over everything but man. But when God made the foundation, which is woman and man, God, just like this building here, this building is set up, but it has a foundation underneath it.
Right, right.
It's the foundation, but which holds up the building.
Yes.
If the people that come, which you call the city of Chicago, inspectors come to do an assessment of this building, if they find the windows is broken out, they would just write it a ticket.
Right.
But if they do an assessment that they feel that the building is leaning, they got to go to the foundation.
Yeah, come on.
There's a crack in the foundation, the whole building has to be torn down. Most relationships, most marriages is failing because there's a crack in the foundation. Man is the foundation which holds up the building, which we call women. It is our job to cosmetize women. We shouldn't flirt after a celebrity. We shouldn't lust after a celebrity. We should lust after other women. Mm-hmm. And we want our wife to look like that. It's our job to mm-hmm. push her to that place and get her and supply her with the things. Because here it is mm-hmm. in the Greek. Now, mm-hmm. watch this, y'all. When man become husband, in the Greek word husband means father. Now, understand, father does not suggest controlling. Oh, my God.
Come on.
It means protector. It means provider. So it is man's job to protect and provide for his daughter. Watch this, y'all. It ain't that he control her. It's not that he abuse her. It's not that he neglect her. It's not that he put her like she's a pet. It's that his job is to provide and protect. Provide her with every meal that she needs. Provide her with the clothes on her back. Watch this, y'all. Provide her with true love. Provide her with sanity, but not put her to a place that she's losing her mind. Though she might have attitude, though she might go through struggles, though she might go to this and that, a real man can deal with that when he know that he's the head and she's the body.
Okay, let me ask this question.
Watch out.
You said something that about providing.
Yeah.
The whole providing thing. And was, let me say it this way. When that was written mm-hmm. biblically about the man being the provider and all of that, that was at a time when women could not work.
True.
And were not allowed to work.
True.
Okay. All right. So let's fast forward. Now women do work.
True.
Women are CEOs. Women own Fortune 500 companies.
True.
So when you use the word provide,
mm-hmm.
I absolutely agree when you talk about covering, when
mm-hmm.
you talk about provider covering, when you
mm-hmm.
when you talk about being a support system. But I think we need to be careful, especially when we're dealing with times of today
mm-hmm.
when we use the word provide, because in some instances there's a lot of different instances where you may meet someone who makes more money than you.
Mm-hmm.
So then the question comes, like you said this earlier, because of society, the question becomes, well, what can you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
I make more money than you.
Mm-hmm.
So here you come, which, you know, you making 40, 50, 60 grand a year, and she making six figures.
Uh-huh.
So she's bringing all the she's bringing, you know, she already got the car she wants.
Mm-hmm.
She got the clothes she
mm-hmm.
wants. She got the house she
mm-hmm.
wants.
She cultivated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so because she's taking the time, and this is not to slight. You know, it's like one of the things that we need to make sure of is that women have spent the time doing what they need to do to make sure that they have what they need to have. Because right now, because so many men have not done what we were supposed to do, women had to go out and do it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know back in the day, the girl, the woman, she stayed home until the man came and took her from her daddy's house.
That's right.
That's not realistic anymore.
Mm. It's not realistic, but it's biblical.
It's not. Right. What? How is it biblical?
It's biblical because it's in the number one. It's in the Bible.
Oh. Yes, sir.
Now here, understand this. Now,
okay. Okay.
I get your point in case, and which is very sufficient. Watch this. Most women that six figures and more,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee, and I don't know statistics,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee they are single.
Okay. I ain't talking about just six figures, but I'm saying this. Most women, here is the deal. Think about your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Went away to college, the ones you grew up with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Went away to college, single.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated or whatever,
mm-hmm.
still single.
Mm-hmm. Still single.
How many went back home versus how many went and got their own stuff?
I agree.
You see, that's what I'm talking about.
I agree.
Because the independence thing comes not wanting to be independent from just a man. The independence comes, I want to be independent from mama and daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, of course, you stay in mom and daddy's house. You can't do everything you want to do
mm-hmm.
in mom and daddy's house.
Mm-hmm.
But however, we cannot get this. I completely agree with you
mm-hmm.
about making sure that women are provided for. I'm looking at it on a larger scale versus just, you know, making sure they have food and all this other stuff. Because
mm-hmm.
here's the deal. There is a lot of times where, say, you know, you're a creative brother,
mm-hmm.
and you're in the process of building something,
uh-huh.
and you meet this woman who already has a job,
mm-hmm.
and now all of a sudden here you come building something, and she has a job. So now if you take your pretense to say, mm-hmm. You got to be the provider, you got to be this, this couple will never get together,
mm-hmm.
because now, according to, if you stick by that traditional paradigm, I'm going to get to these comments, if you stick by that traditional paradigm, then now, Lewis, this comment, if you stick by that traditional paradigm, then those two people will never get together because he's bringing nothing to the table because he's in the process of building. Let me get to some of these comments. Let me go all the way back up. Lewis Chamberlain says, first of all, what's up, Lewis? I see you. He says, men at 40 doing the same thing where at 20 they truly have wasted their lives. Dana says that's a good movie. You talk about the movie with old girl and I know. Used to be married to the singing dude. Melissa LaFleur, I believe some women would love to not be independent, but she need that man to help her release. She need that man to help her release her from that. Okay. Yolanda King says the key is to finding the right man who can compliment you.
Okay.
Lewis Chambers says release her from independence. Dana Miller, preach. Let's see. Harold Washington, good response. Lewis Chamberlain says, you making it seem like we should just be suckers to women, Parks, and women should not contribute.
That's not what I'm saying.
I know. Then he said, thanks, Dana, for cleaning it up. Preach. Let me see. Say it again. Lewis Parks, no sugar daddy.
My brother.
Yolanda says, most women have an honest man who is loving, trustworthy, and kind. It doesn't matter if she's making six figures or not. They say, I agree. Melissa LaFleur says, say your line. This is good.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's again, this is why I really, really would love to have, we probably couldn't do it in one show.
No, we couldn't.
We probably couldn't do it in one show. They would probably have to be here for the week.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem giving the platform. I don't care. You all know me. It's, hey, the door is open.
I think it will help.
By letter.
But listen, I'm telling you this. The purpose of me preaching that yesterday,
yes,
was I believe if so many people keep talking about what they're going to leave and then 1 year when they enter into another.
Yeah.
And one thing I have noticed that a lot of people don't talk about relationships anymore in the church. A lot of pastors don't preach on that.
Yeah.
Because truth of the matter, a lot of pastors are in relationships they don't want to be in.
Hmm.
I'm serious. They're in
relationships and oh my gosh, see with that now that that would take us way left. But a lot of them are in marriages because they believe wrongly that marriage is what helps them with ministry.
Yeah. Definitely.
And if you're in an unhealthy marriage, I can tell you right now, ministry ain't going nowhere.
It's not because here
ain't going nowhere.
Ministry don't help your marriage.
Yeah, right.
It really don't.
It really don't.
It
actually takes away from it.
Before Pastor Reggie and Pastor London became big on this, they was big
on their marriage.
Outside of
where
you go. Before they ever formed the Lifeline thing.
And you're hitting it right on the head.
Yeah.
And they've been consistent.
Yeah.
Now, I've been around them 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them, and he's one of the most consistent guys.
Yes, he is.
That I ever met in my life in his walk.
Yes,
and I'm being honest. But they've been consistent as being a couple as well.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I see them doing now, openly, I seen them doing this privately.
Exactly.
20 years ago.
But they worked on it.
They perfected it
there
behind closed doors.
You hit
before
right.
they bring it to the rest of the and you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So here is where we are. We cannot be so eager or ministers or preachers, because I know this for a fact, and I ain't gonna call no names, but I know some preachers that got married simply because they were trying to get a pastor's job.
Yeah.
It says,
Lewis got a question for
suppose
me.
The guy loses income and the woman becomes the breadwinner, should she pick up the slack?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It's a partnership.
All right, Lewis, I guess, and don't get it twisted, I'm not saying that man responsibility is to take care of 100%. We're not in that economy.
Okay.
I mean, it works for those who are rich and famous, probably.
Yeah.
But right now, we're not in that economy. What I'm saying is, if you want your wife to look like a certain celebrity or a certain, she want her to have this certain model, our job is not to down her. Our job is to build her, empower her, to get her to that place what we're looking for in that woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, and true and all, you know, regardless of how much you make, because I'd seen relations, even when I was married, my wife made more than me, but it didn't stop me from being a breadwinner. We all are breadwinner. No matter how much you bring it to the table, you're a breadwinner. Just some guys make more sacrifice than others.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the end of the day, you got to ask yourself,
mm-hmm.
What sacrifices you're making as a person
mm-hmm.
to build up your mate. I'm telling you this. I did this when I was in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I did this when I had bukus of money.
Mm-hmm.
I invested more in women that I knew I had no intention being with than I did in my own wife.
Wow.
And
wow.
So a lot of guys, you can't run from this matter.
Wow.
It's our job to take care of them. I mean, at the end of the day, that's why the Bible tells us, may a man
mm-hmm.
leave
mm-hmm.
his wife,
his mother and father,
and cleave to his wife.
Right.
Even in when you a ceremony,
right.
The wife,
right.
the soon to be wife,
uh-huh.
father
gives her away, right.
to another man,
right.
because that's who is her father now, provider,
right.
protector.
Yeah, but okay,
I get what you're saying.
I'm not
a provider,
right? I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that at all. And man, I don't know how we got in this conversation, but this is good.
Good.
But I ain't talking to Lewis no more. He's like, why y'all so clean? We normally not just a regular sweatsuit.
I love that man.
Anyway, no, I
love you, bro.
I honestly believe that. But there's so many different situations where, you know, because of your job,
mm-hmm.
you've always been you're always the person who makes more money. Your wife could be the person because of her job who
mm-hmm.
always was making more money. If she's
mm-hmm.
been in a career and you just
mm-hmm.
starting out, you know, I remember. I don't want to talk about this for too long, but anybody, you watched the show Insecure?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Insecure, two of the main characters, the girl, I can't think of nobody's name right now, but two of the main characters, the girl had a career,
mm-hmm.
and the guy was still trying to find himself.
Mm-hmm.
So she was pretty much fitting the bill for
mm-hmm.
everything while he was trying to find himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he took a job that he didn't want because he got tired of sitting at home And then he quit that. Yeah, I think he quit that job, and he finally got to a position where he was able to go and actually start to work in something that was driving him. You know. So I mean, it's just I don't want to get. Yeah, you.
It's coming down. I see y'all.
He done set this off on Facebook Live. Let me see what this Lewis says. My last question. Oh, I said that already. George Beatty, in marriage, it's not a big iron little you. It's about teamwork, and husband's job is to make the wife's dream come true.
Yeah.
Felicia Martin, we live in a different society now. People have to know who they are. Evangelist says, Carolyn Wright, thank you, Pastor Washington, for sharing this post. God bless you. Oh, so, yeah, I mean, it's
all right, this is what you. All right,
come on.
This is one of the biggest problems we have in marriages.
Come on,
we don't get to know that person before we get married. See, when you get to know a person, you know how what they like and what they dislike.
Marissa Williams say, "What happened to help me?" My God, that's a good question, Marissa. What happened to the help me?
Yeah, she's still there. She's the supporter. She's our supporter cast. That's the help me. She's our supporter cast. You know, we work hard, those who do. And when you come home, not to nagging.
See, the Bible says, we're going to say it.
Go ahead.
The Bible says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh.
Okay.
So it's not just, you know, I'm sitting here and she, you know, when I get, because here's the deal. Let's be honest.
Man should stand behind a woman.
But hold on. Let's be honest. If you, this ain't 1950. This ain't 1960. You know, you got a lot of women, and no, please don't be offended, y'all. Please don't be offended. Please.
Yeah.
But you got a lot of women who can't boil water. So the days of you coming home to a hot meal, those days for some might not be the case, but you got to be okay with that.
They can nuke it.
No, see, No. Okay, look.
Improvising.
What I'm saying is this. The roles, not that the roles have reversed,
mm-hmm.
But the responsibilities have taken a turn.
Mm-hmm.
Because some women can't cook. If the man can, then let him.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, guess what? If you come in from work, say, look here, you go get the groceries and I'll cook them.
That's talking about.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, that's negotiate.
You know that ahead of time. That's what I'm saying. But we have to get out of this false dichotomy of saying that this is 1960 and you go home, you just bring home the check. And then she cooks the food, does all this stuff, because that's not the case anymore. Because just like you want a career, this woman wants a career. If she takes the time, creates all type of debt for going to school, just like most people did, and she creates this debt to get in a career, then how come she can't focus on said career as well? You have couples who are both career-minded individuals who say, hey, I went to school, you went to school. Why should one sacrifice the other?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't live in this Brady Bunch type environment. Let me say it that way. Mm-hmm. June and Beaver Cleaver. let me see here. Felicia says you do what you're good at. She says my friend, the woman works on cars and her husband works and he cooks and takes care of the kids. They have a happy marriage and a happy medium. That's good.
And that because
the roles are reversed.
I'm not gonna say it's reversed because the work is work.
He at home taking care of the kids.
I mean that's that. If it works for them,
I'm just saying. That don't look right to people.
And you're absolutely right.
that don't look right to people.
You're absolutely right. It don't look right to me.
But if they happy,
and they happy
and been married for 25, 30 years, obviously they stuff working.
Yeah. Yeah. Something got to be working. Hey, believe it or not, I know a Christian and Jehovah's Witness been married over 40 years.
Wow. Wow.
Over 40 years.
Wow.
And the guy's a deacon of a church, chairman.
Wow. George says, at the end of the day, marriage is a ministry. We have to cover each other in the places we are weak in. Absolutely.
I agree.
That's it. Now that I agree with, absolutely. No fighting on that one. No fight. this conversation wasn't even supposed to happen. We got this conversation we're going to get to. So, look, we're going to take a break, give y'all a text. Y'all can talk amongst yourselves. If we see some good comments, we'll read them. Those of you everywhere, let me make sure I ain't miss nothing on the email, because sometimes I do miss them. Let me do a refresh up here. Make sure I ain't miss no emails. Amen. Up to date. Yeah, we good. Okay. So, look, we're going to take a real quick break, right? We're going to take this quick break. If you want to chime in, those of you listening on the phone line, just push 1. You'll be a part of the show. The producer will let you through. If you are listening watching on Facebook Live or on Ustream, you can call in. Area code 34 if you want. You got something to say and it's too much to type. Let me help you out. You can call in. It's real simple. Area code 347-934-0546. Again, that phone number is area code 347-934-0546. One more time. Area code 347-934-0546. That's the call-in number. I just put it out there for you. We're going to take a quick break, y'all. Then when we come back, y'all need to stay because the rest of this conversation is going to be good because we're jumping right into the topic. Three things churches love. But it actually ends up killing outreach. We're going to talk about that when we get back. Don't miss this. If you haven't shared it already, share this video. This is going to get good. We're going to take a break. I'm going to give y'all a little bit of this here. Let's see here. Man, I would play that, but that'd get me in trouble. We're going to give y'all a little bit of this old school. No, I'm going to give you some of this Tasha Cobb. Stop this Tasha Cobb here. A little bit of this For Your Glory. We'll be right back, y'all. TPLO.
Lift your worship. Lord, please
back, we are back, we are back, we are back. Oh, my sister has joined the conversation. My sister Darlene, what's going on with you? Good to see you, good to see you. Oh, man, this is good. This is good. We're having a good conversation. I really think we're gonna work on making sure, you know, it would be good to do it. I know I already have something planned for February. I'm really want to work with doing entrepreneur stuff for Black History Month. But maybe around the week of, if we can get with Pastor Parks in London, around Valentine's,
Pastor Roy.
I'm sorry, Pastor Roy. Who did I say?
Pastor Parks.
Oh, yeah, right. If we could get with Pastors Royals, because they both pastors, Pastor Reggie and Pastor London, get them in here around Valentine's Day weekend. That would probably be really good to see if we can get them booked. Because I know they got a book out and everything, so they could, you know, that I'm sure all of that would be covered.
Mm-hmm.
In the process. Man, look, y'all, this is good. Man, we've been having a really good conversation. Hope you all got something out of it. It's been absolutely amazing. This has been fun. But look, we have this great topic. This is really, really good. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Again, if you just jumped into any of the chat rooms, Ustream over there, hey, y'all. Facebook Live over here, hey, y'all. Those of you listening via Blog Talk, hey, y'all. What's going on? Look, hit the share button. Hit the share button. If you're watching on whatever, hit the share button. We would love to hear from you. Okay, who calling me from Texas? Don't know who you are. But we're going to jump on in on today's conversation, and it's going to be good. It's entitled, Three Things Churches Love That Kill Outreach. Three things that churches love, and it kills outreach. We're definitely going to jump right into that. Why is my phone ringing like that? Okay, but that's going to be good. We're going to just jump right into it. So let's go. This one says, this article is really good. It's on churchleaders.com, and it's by Ed Stetzer. He writes a lot of good stuff. He says this. He says, all churches love certain things. Some love fellowship, some worship, some prayer. Those are good ones. He says those are good loves. Some are neutral loves. Some are not. Other churches love their building, their history, or their strategy. Those can be good or bad, depending on what we mean by love or how we value those things. Mm. But some things that churches love hurt their mission and hinder their call.
Wow.
Here are three I observed from my work with thousands of churches. Let me say this. A lot of you all watch the show. Y'all hear about what we're talking about. You take it one way or the other. The writers that we pick and when I'm picking these articles, they have worked with hundreds and some thousands of churches. So you need to take their experience that they actually may know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
That's why I choose these articles, because these are people who have worked and helped churches who have been struggling. They help rebuild churches. They do all of these things. This is the information that you need to share. So again, here we go. He says he's worked with over 1,000 churches. So let's start this off. Three things churches love that kill outreach. Number one says, too many churches love past culture more than current context.
Wow.
He says, it's remarkable. He says, I've said many times, if the 1950s came back, many churches are ready. Or if the 1600s or the boomer 80s, or depending on your denomination, I guess.
Hmm.
He says, there's nothing wrong with the 50s, except we don't live there anymore.
Wow.
We must love those who live here now and not yearn for the way things used to be.
Wow.
The cultural sensibilities of the 50s are long past in most of the United States. The values and norms of our current context are drastically different and continue to change.
Yeah.
The task of contextualization is paramount to the mission of the church, because we are called to understand and speak to those around us in a meaningful way.
Mm.
He says we can learn much from the Apostle Paul's example recorded in Acts 17:16-34. He says this, so a church on mission in this time and place engages the people around it. He says, yes, in some ways it resembles its context.
Mm.
A biblically faithful church living in a cultural concept. But if your church loves a past era more than the current mission, it loves the wrong thing.
Wow. You know, when I read this, and first thing comes to mind is your whole church being ran by 60-plus leaders, 60 years old and plus leaders.
Uh-oh.
That don't understand adaptability, don't understand adjusting to this new culture, new generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the ones we consider, quote unquote, the pillar
mm-hmm.
of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And normally that's why churches are dying, because pillars die.
Oh, my.
And because they hold the seat for so long, they never give young or innovators or those progressive people
mm-hmm.
an opportunity to come in and have hands-on experience.
Yeah.
So because of the lack of hands-on experience,
mm-hmm.
you force someone in that position.
Yeah.
That don't, they might know the business sector,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know the church administration.
Yeah.
And so now you're putting that person in dire's time
yeah.
into that slot.
Yeah.
And they fail,
yeah.
not because of their knowledge,
yeah.
but they fail because of the past leadership.
Wow.
A lot of our churches have leaders that's beyond retirement. If you retire from your job,
mm.
you should be able to retire from ministries in your church.
Mm. I think the part of this article where he says, I mean, it's just so right on point. He says, if the 1950s came back, many churches are ready.
Because they still, man, you're still living in the past.
And again, it's not to knock, I'm not knocking anybody's tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm simply saying is this. You can't live off of what your grandmama and granddaddy did.
You can't.
We talked about this the other day. We were talking about inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
You got an inheritance, but now it's up to you to make that expand on it.
Yeah.
Because if all you do is just continue to spend
wow.
the inheritance, at some point you're going to go broke.
Some point.
What mama and daddy did to make the money no longer works now.
Mm-hmm.
What people did to make money in 1950
mm-hmm.
does not work in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
What your church did to sustain itself
mm-hmm.
by selling chicken dinners
mm-hmm.
in the 60s and 70s
mm-hmm.
will not sustain a church mm-hmm. in 2016.
You're absolutely right.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
See, we were selling chicken dinners. Can we be honest? We were selling chicken dinners in the 60s and 70s because guess what? It wasn't no Kentucky Fried Chicken and Popeyes on every doggone corner.
That's right.
Wasn't no Uncle Remus.
That's right.
Wasn't no Harold.
That's right.
So if the church was selling the chicken dinner for $6, everybody and their mama was going to buy it.
That's right.
I mean, let's be honest. We're not thinking. That concept no longer works today, but yet we will still try to rely on that same mentality. I tell people this all the time. You know, I love my car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you love your car.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get a new one, you probably would.
Yeah,
if I could get a different one, I would probably, if I wanted a different one, I probably would too.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. I don't want to go back to horse and buggy.
I know that's right.
I ain't never been in one, nor do I want to go in one.
I know that's right.
So there are those who believe that things were easier then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine? You know, having to go, you take road trips.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I used to drive back and forth to Atlanta all the time. It's a 10-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
The way I drive, it's a 10-hour drive, maybe 9.5, but it's a 10-hour drive. Could you imagine how long it take you to get to Atlanta in a horse and a buggy?
You know, you own it, man.
Come on.
You own it. And it's amazing how we miss out on so much
yeah.
in life because we're stuck
yeah.
in our comfortability, comfort
yeah.
zone.
Yeah.
And it's hurting. That's just like going to somebody's house.
Mm-hmm.
I got an uncle. Kid you not.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle, his house looks the same way than it did in the early 70s.
Oh, my God.
Same furniture.
Oh, my God.
Same plastic on the furniture.
Oh, my God.
I mean, in the same exact way.
Mm. Help us, Jesus.
And that lets me know that's mm-hmm. exactly how his mindset.
Yep. Yep.
Only work you got done, maybe some roofing and all that, but you do your lawn.
Just
but
the maintenance to keep
it up. The maintenance
yeah.
to keep it up. But
right.
the inside
yeah.
looked the same.
Wow.
That you know,
yeah.
a lot of us change our dressing on the outside.
Yeah.
But our inside mindset is the same way that it was
The minister that spoke yesterday when he got ready to preach, he gave his scripture. And so we all, you know, we stand when the reading of the scripture is going. And he made note of something. He said, man, he said, look at all my seasoned saints with your tablets and your cell phones.
Wow.
Using the Bible. Wow.
Because you had now I'll give you had those who say, hey, look, this is easier for me.
Wow.
This is easier for me. So Felicia says them chicken dinners was fine. Bless the Lord. Yeah, they was back in the day. And Yolanda says, let's not forget segregation. Right. Mm-hmm. Because that's the same thing. Why would you want to stay? I understand how successful you were then,
mm-hmm.
but then you had to be innovative
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The chicken. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Selling the chicken dinners was innovative in 1970 and 80.
Mm.
Selling the chicken dinners today is not.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Again, we're talking about, we're talking about three things churches love that kill outreach. Number two,
too many churches love their comfort. Wow, we just said that. Too many churches love their comfort more than their mission. The fact is, your church probably needs to be less focused on what makes it happy and more focused on what pleases Jesus. This is an easy trap to fall into because it happens very subtly. Most churches have worked hard to get to a place where congregational customers are happy, their needs are met. The problem is that we are not called to cater to customers. Wow. We are called to equip co-laborers. When we win the affections of those inside our circle, it becomes hard to pull away from the affirmation we receive. Again, this has only become a problem when the affirmation of those on the inside works at the detriment of our mission to those on the outside.
Mm.
It is a lot easier to settle down with the people who are like us than to reach the foreigner or alien among us. Wow. So, a church does not exist for the comfort of its people.
Mm.
Actually, the Bible reminds us again and again that we are to provoke one another to love and good deeds.
Oh my.
Hebrews 10 and 24.
Uh-huh.
To bear one another's burdens.
Mm.
Galatians 6 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And more. But if your church love is comfort more than caring for others, it loves the wrong thing.
Now this
wow.
here. This here.
Wow.
This probably slaps some people upside the head.
Wow.
And guess what? If you got hit with it, then that means you're doing it. This is Bible. First of all, Bible says provoke one another to love and good deeds. Get out of your comfort zone.
Get out.
I've said this so many times on this airwaves. When you remain in the comfort zone, you are slowly dying.
Yeah.
And you don't even recognize that you're dying.
Man, this is good.
You have no. I use this as I've used it for two different ones, but I saw this. I was watching Discovery Channel one night because I know I don't sleep. I was watching Discovery Channel, and they had mosquitoes or gnats.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was mosquitoes, and they put them in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
And they took – I'm sorry, it wasn't mosquitoes, it was flies. And they put them in the jar,
mm-hmm.
and they put a lid on the jar.
Mm-hmm.
Then they tightened the jar up, put some holes in it so the flies would fly up and hit the lid. They took the top off, put a piece of saran wrap, clear, mm-hmm. so you could see through. The flies would fly up and hit the top of the saran wrap. Mm. After about 10 minutes, they stopped flying up. They just started hovering. He took the saran wrap off. They never flew out because they got comfortable, where they were.
Wow.
They said, you know what? We can't get no higher than
wow.
where we are. Even though I can see it, I can't get no higher, my God.
Wow.
Than where we are, so I'm just gonna keep flying in this jar, and guess what? They eventually died.
Wow,
no insect killer, nothing. They just died because they didn't do what they naturally were accustomed to doing. They do the same thing. If you've ever seen. Old man told me this once about how they do frogs when they're killing frogs with frog legs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. They'll cook the whole frog alive first.
Wow.
And they put this frog in a pot of mm-hmm. water that's comfortable to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they slowly turn the heat up.
Mm-hmm.
The frog does not realize that he's dying. So he sits in this pot. All he has to do is jump out at any time to save his
wow.
life. But because he looks around, everything looks familiar. Hey, I've been here all this time. This is where I live. This is where I sit. The heat is, and slowly but surely, he's dying.
Wow.
We need to recognize, church, and yes, I'm talking to you.
Wow.
We need to recognize that as long as we stay in these same familiar surroundings, all we're doing is dying. We're not growing. And guess what? Just because they come and take another frog and put him in the pot with you, that just means you got more folk dying with you. Y'all ain't growing together.
Man, listen, is this guy went hiking, and he was going up the mountain, and a storm came. And in the storm, he lost all his visibility.
Yeah.
He didn't have no way to contact anyone. And so he said, forget it.
Yeah.
Let me just stay here and die.
Wow.
So happily, somebody came
mm-hmm.
and was trying to tell him to let go of the rope.
Wow.
Let go of the rope.
Uh-huh.
He was so scared
yep.
and so confident, he didn't want to let go. So the very next day, it went across the news mm-hmm. saying that a guy that attempted to go hunting,
mm-hmm.
I mean hiking, found dead,
mm-hmm.
hanging from a rope 2 inches from the ground.
Woo! My God. My.
2 inches
from
the ground. All he had to do was let go.
Because watch this. I've helped. This rope is what has sustained me.
Wow.
And because I've trained my mind to think that this is all I got, I can't
wow.
let this go. Even
wow.
though safety is on the other
wow.
side. It's just like that same story. You heard this in churches many times where the guy was stranded on the island and prayed to God, and God sent him a boat.
Uh-huh.
He didn't get on it. God sent the helicopter. He didn't get on it. God sent the airplane to get on it when he died. He said, Lord, why didn't you help me? And Lord said, fool.
I sent you
3 ways out.
Lord, have mercy.
Oh, my God. Let's move on. We're going to finish this on time. Praise
Lord,
Jesus.
Have mercy.
Listen, we're talking about three things churches love that kill outreach. Number three, oh, my God, too many churches love their traditions more than their children. Whew, how can you tell? He says they persist in using methods that are not relevant to their own children and grandchildren. Somebody can get a benediction. He says far too often, church leaders, in an effort to protect the traditions of their congregations, draw lines in the sand on non-essential issues.
Yeah.
Like what to wear. He says, this is not to say that tradition is wrong. It depends on how you define it.
Yeah.
But I think most will know what I mean. Christian scholar Jaroslav Pelikan said, tradition is the living faith of the dead.
Wow.
Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living.
Wow.
Churches that love tradition that way will choose their traditions over their children every time.
Wow.
Too often, churches allow traditions to hinder their ability to humbly assess their missional effectiveness. Moreover, my God, they allow traditions to trump the future trajectory of their demographic.
Wow.
He says, I know several young pastors who have been exiled from their local congregations because they didn't fit the mold of what had always been the ethos of leadership. Sometimes this is because impatient pastors try to force change too quickly.
Wow.
Other times it's because settled churches resist change so forcefully.
Wow.
Undoubtedly, he says, there are always times to defend traditional stances of essential doctrines in the local church. But we should not have a cultural elitism that hinders passing the torch to a new generation of leaders. If your church loves the way you do church more than your children, it loves the wrong things.
Man, you know, when I read this, I know why.
Woo!
Older members, and this is no offense to our seasoned members, but they could care less how many people come to church.
Yeah.
They could care less what's new in church.
Yeah.
They could care less new ideas. They don't care about that.
Long as the doors open.
Long as the doors are open.
And they can get in.
And they can get in. I'm serious.
You're right.
It's a shame how they probably had a great young pastor to come in, innovator.
Yep.
One who had vision and one who had Joshua.
Yep.
But you still have people stuck in Moses' days.
Ooh.
It's amazing how most people really, they're afraid to come out of Egypt. They talk the talk, but they love being in Egypt. They'll never get to Canaan land. They'll never get to the land of milk and honey because they're stuck in their ways, man. They're stuck in some traditions. Some traditions should just die, be buried.
6 feet under. Now, I'm not saying that we just take everything and be dismissal, but there's some things we need to learn how to blend together. Take the bitter with the sweet, shake it up, get some lemonade. But some things that we do in church has no relevancy to the Holy Spirit. And I mean, just because a person sing a hymn don't mean that there's God in it. Mm. I mean, and it's time. I mean, I see some stuff take place in church that I believe is an insult to God. I'm serious. I mean, we put our best foot forward everywhere else, mm-hmm. but in the church.
Mm. I am just, you know, where it says, like I said, the benediction could have been given when it says they persist in using methods that are not relevant to their own children.
And grandchildren. That's a shame.
Children and grandchildren. So you would rather stick with what you grew up with,
man.
Knowing that your own child,
man.
And grandchild can't even relate to it on a basic level.
Wow.
But you would rather see the church close up, and then watch this. The mentality would be, well, we're going to stick to this, and if God and we'll leave it up to God to save it. No, put that mess on God.
Wow.
We're real quick to go, well, we're going to do it this way and just let the Lord work it out. You stupid.
Man, we do every – man, listen here. That ain't what – that's not how God operates,
no.
Man.
No. Joshua could not run the – Joshua didn't run the people of Israel like Moses did.
He couldn't.
He couldn't.
Number one, they two different people.
One thing I will never forget, one of the things that Pastor Williams told me all the time. He said, your ministry will always be different from mine.
Yeah.
He says, I don't expect your – he told us in meetings all the time, your ministry won't be like mine. It will be different from mine. You may find – you may have shared some of my characteristics.
Yeah.
But your ministries will be different.
You're more educated.
It's just going to be different. You have different gifts.
Man, technology, man. It's so much, man. I mean, and you know, it's sad.
It is.
That people know that, but they can't accept it.
No. And then we'll try to quiet you
mm-hmm.
for even bringing it up.
Yeah. You the Antichrist.
You too.
You the devil.
The devil. That ain't nothing but the devil.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing but the devil.
You want to try to change everything.
Come on, man. Read this here.
It's time to evaluate your church.
Yeah.
Love is good, and everyone wants a loving church. However, loving the wrong thing leads you the wrong way. Loving what is good, including our context, Jesus, mission, and the next generation, to name a few things, moves the church in the right direction. The church should be always reforming, that is, humbly looking at itself and assessing its ability to reach people with the good news of Jesus.
Yeah.
Sadly, many of the people Jesus devoted his time to would not feel welcome in our church. Wow. What about your church? What does it posture, behavior, practices, and activities communicate to your community?
Yeah.
I think all of us want to understand the culture and community we are ministering in so we can communicate the gospel with absolute clarity
mm-hmm.
to do this. We need to ask ourselves the hard but needed questions.
All right. So look here. So we got this. This is good. This is good. Yeah, go ahead. So what the questions are, go ahead.
Who are we reaching?
Mm.
Number one. Number two, are we primarily reaching people who are like us? Are we primarily reaching people who are already believers?
Mm.
Are we primarily reaching people who understand Christian subcultural and taboos? What about the people who do not have a church background? Wow. What about the people who are unfamiliar with Christian beliefs? What about the people who don't understand church subculture and behavior taboos? Wow.
He says, to say we are unable to reach the lost because of our traditions or preferences is simply unacceptable and anti-ethical to the mission of God. These questions are real simple. Who are we reaching?
Mm.
And then I like he says, are we only reaching people who are like us?
Mm.
Are you only going after folks that – because that's not the Great Commission.
Mm.
He said, go ye therefore and teach. He said, go out and reach the lost. He said, go out and get people who already know Lord. Go reach the lost. But our program – and this is how you know your programs are inauthentic.
Mm-hmm.
Your programs are not to draw in the lost. Your programs are only to get other Christians to come.
Mm.
We don't have programs set up to bring in the lost. Our programs are only set up to draw people from other churches, and they'll come for the program, and then they return home.
Mm. That's good.
Just like your family and friends days.
That's good.
The majority of folks that come on your family and friends days, they got church homes.
They got church homes, yeah.
You visit. You set it up.
Yeah.
Some churches even in partnership. Well, you know, ours is this week, so we'll put ours on this one so we don't bump heads, and that way we can exchange this money. Don't get me started.
Man, it's crazy. That's what it is.
Look at y'all. This is, man, this has been amazing, amazing show. Let me read one of these comments. Felicia says, I feel bad about a church I know about because most of the members are between 60 and 80. One of them often asks, why don't any young people come here? What should I tell her? Give her this article.
Yeah.
Give her this article. Print this out.
Yeah.
Print this article out. Go to the page. Go to the page. Print this article out and print it and put it in her hands and have her pass it out to the leadership team, because this is exactly why young people, a lot of them don't want to be, because, and then the ones that, and what the article is really pointing at when it says you want to stick to your traditions more than your children and your grandchildren is your children grew up in it.
Yeah.
And the first chance they got to get free, they decided
they gone. That's what happened.
And when they have babies, they ain't bringing their babies back to your church.
And listen, and this is key. I want you guys to hear this. Because of our ways, because we're so stuck in traditional matters,
yes,
it pulls so many young folks away from the church and God.
Yeah.
Because they see church in a way that is not reality.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they have been pulled and pushed into something that is just so distasteful.
Yeah.
It pushed them totally away from.
Yeah.
And that's why they go and find other things, other ventures and things, other denominations.
Yeah.
Or even they stay in God, but they go to another church. Like,
yeah.
Remember we talked about when they get married,
yep.
You think that they're going to come back,
yeah,
or graduate from college?
No.
They don't come back to that,
yeah,
church and help
if
at all.
If a lot of children, if you have legacy, if you got second and third generations in the church, it's because their families were so intertwined in the church, they feel bad for leaving.
Yeah, they got stuck in the church.
If you pulled them to the side and pulled them and gave them an option to go elsewhere, they probably would.
Yeah, definitely.
But their mom is
definitely
there. They were raised there. They've raised their kids there, and they feel like they're obligated.
Yeah.
You're not obligated. But churches need to recognize that members don't feel obligated to stay anymore because there's too many options.
Wow.
It's just like if you like Popeye's chicken, you got a bunch of options for Popeye's. You ain't got to go to the bootleg one.
Exactly.
You got options.
Exactly.
They all serving chicken.
They all serving chicken.
But if a handful serve it the way I like it.
Bottom line, they have the same menu.
Same menu.
Same menu.
We all got the same menu.
But it's crazy to say this.
Yep.
It's a different taste.
Wow. When you don't prep the food right.
Wow.
When you don't prep the food right, my God. Look,
wow,
y'all, this has been a wonderful, wonderful show. We're going to almost get out of here on time.
Yeah.
We're going to almost get out of here on time. You got anything happening between now and Wednesday?
Now and Wednesday. Well, tomorrow I'm picking up some toys and doing another toy shopping. If anyone still want to donate,
mm-hmm,
you can do, sir. We need more girl toys. I'm putting that pill out. We do.
You still need wrapping paper?
And we need wrapping paper.
I didn't think y'all was going to run out of wrapping paper, but y'all did.
Yeah, we ran out of wrapping paper.
Okay.
And yesterday, I gave away a whole box full of unwrapped toys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because
wow,
we had no wrapping paper.
Wow. Okay, y'all. So that's good. That's good. This has been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing. Pray us out, preacher.
Father in heaven, we thank you and we honor you, God. We thank you for the words that you have allowed to come out of our mouth, God, because
yes,
we do believe that you have ordained it and sanctioned it, God. We pray that it didn't fall on deaf ears, God. We thank you that you have allowed two brothers to come together to have the same Christ-like mind,
yes,
have
God,
the same passion that your people are being empowered. Now, God, we continue to speak blessings. And, God, even the homeless that's out there in the crowd, God, we pray that you keep them warm somehow, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Many of them are there because of self-affliction. Some are there because they have no other choice, God. But, God, it is our duty and our call to take care of the poor. So, God, we ask that you provide many churches, many organizations, agencies with the substance that we're able to share with others, God. And we'd be so able to give your name the glory, honor, and Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, this has been absolutely awesome. I hope you all got something out of this. You can always email the show. I know we're about to go off the air, but some people will watch this later. You can always email the show with your question and your comment. We will definitely hit you back on Wednesday, I'll even respond today if I see it today. So it's been great. Y'all stay blessed. Man, stay warm, because we make it through the night, we're going to be all right. But y'all stay warm. And look out. Call and check on the old people, too. Call and check on your old people. Check on them. And if you're driving through the city of Chicago, oh, my God, Keep your head on a swivel, y'all. We got to go. Y'all stay blessed. Peace.
Peace.